I was hoping not to see Pedro again, but maybe next time there'll be another Pedro to pass on the baton to. Well, as we begin, as I gather my breath, we pray that the Lord would actually speak to us today, that we might know what it means to be His people and involved in His mission. Gracious Lord, thank you for the privilege of being your people. Thank you for the privilege of being drawn into your great plans and purposes for this world. And Lord, as we come to your word now, please speak to us that we might be shaped together as a community that understands what it means to be your people and on your mission as we make disciples of all nations, of this nation, and of our communities. Amen. Well, if you've got your Bibles there, we're going to be focusing on the Romans 14 passage. You may have noticed there's a bit of a theme running through the three readings. So the final one from the Sermon on the Mount is also about not worrying about what we eat and what we drink. Now, I've chosen these because while I think we about these issues as more like ethical things, when we look at them in context, we see that they're actually missional things. And they should help us to see what it means to be the church as we're drawn into the mission of God. Now, you'll probably know that the church in Africa is booming. There are more than 600 million Christians in Africa today. Okay, 600 million. But while the church is flourishing now, it's about to face its biggest challenge ever. Now, do you know what the biggest challenge is for the church in Africa today? Well, it's not the spread of Islam. It's not the challenge of syncretism with witchcraft, which is remarkably common. The biggest challenge is not poverty, although that is an issue. The biggest challenge is not tribalism and conflict, although that is an increasingly significant issue. No, the greatest challenge facing the church in Africa today is actually the exact same challenge, the biggest challenge facing the church in Australia today. And that challenge is, how do we disciple the next generation of believers in a world that is increasingly hostile to Christianity? Have you felt that over the years that the world is kind of becoming less tolerant of the church? It's kind of harder to kind of be accepted. Well, today's passage from Romans actually, I think, gives us one of the great keys of mission as a church as we seek to reach out in a hostile world. So if you've got your Bibles there, look at Romans chapter 15, verse 7. What's the key? Accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you. Now, do you think of that as being like a mission strategy? Accept one another? Sounds nice, doesn't it? It's kind of, lovely. Kind of reminds us of Christ's words in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, don't judge or you will be judged. Like, is this the key to mission in Australia and around the world today? Is Paul just telling us here that if we want to reach the lost, then we need to stop being so judgy? Is that the point? Is that the key to how we're to make disciples, just by being more accepting and tolerant in a... Well, I don't think that's going to work. See, are people going to come into the doors of the church just because we say it's okay if what they do? Well, I don't think so. Because while Christians can sometimes be a bit judgmental, you may have noticed that our culture in Australia is also getting more and more judgmental. Just 5 years ago, the message was love is what? Love is love. Great. And now, as I come to Adelaide, I see people walking around the streets with like jerseys and hats with a big message saying, "Your love is outdated." I thought, hey, outdated? Isn't it confusing? See, even if we do get people through the door, it's not going to take the average person very long to realize that when Jesus says, "Don't judge, lest you be judged," he's already said a fair bit there about sex, a fair bit about lust and greed and hypocrisy and anger and self-righteousness and sin in general. And by the time you get to Paul saying, accept one another just as Christ has accepted you in Romans 14 and 15, Paul's also had a fair bit to say about sex and lust and greed and hypocrisy and anger, self-righteousness and sin in general. See, how is Romans 15 a helpful word for us as we seek to reach out and make disciples on our doorsteps and around the world? Well, the first thing to note about Romans 15 is that Paul's actually not talking about how we treat the people outside the church. He's talking about how we treat one another within the church, and how this is absolutely critical for the mission of the church as we reach out. So perhaps the issue is not, what is tolerable, but the issue is for us is, who do you struggle with at church? Who would you rather not have a cup of tea with after the service? I don't know about you, but, divisions is a big issue within the church. It's a big issue in the church in Africa. People are divided around tribal groups. At George Whitfield College, we have students who think in order to be a Christian, you have to greet every single person that you come across in the day. So we make sure that we greet every single person that we come across in the day. And that's fine. But we have students that think if a woman wears a skirt that's above the knee, then she's a sinner and she has to be rebuked. And we have students that think it's okay to wear all sorts of things. See, it causes division and tensions. I think as the church, we just naturally do this all the time, don't we? It's hard to accept one another. But Paul wants us to see that us doing this is critical for the mission of the church. So the first thing that we want to see about the mission of the church from today's passage is that the local church is to fulfill its missions to the nations of bringing glory to God through Christ, actually through our shared life as the church together. It's actually not just about sending people off here and there and people. It's about us together. The mission, the purpose of the local church is to glorify God by making Christ known among all peoples, but to do that through the shared life of the church as Christ's people. So look with me at how our reading finished in Romans 15, verses 5 to 7. It says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind, the mind of Jesus, and with one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you. Why? In order to bring praise to God. Now, what does Paul mean when it's about bringing praise to God? Well, Paul here is actually just really picking up the teaching of the Old Testament prophets, which is why we had the reading from Ezekiel. What's the purpose of God gathering his people together? Not just so that they can be saved, but so that he can be praised among all nations. Ezekiel 39:7 says, when the Lord saves his people from the nations and gathers them from his enemies, then he will be proved holy through his people in the sight of many nations. How we live as a church and as we're seen living together as a church is an important part of what God has done by bringing us together and as we're called to bring him glory and praise in the nations. Now, the fact that this is actually what Paul is wanting us to see here in this part of Romans is clearly seen by how he immediately goes on in verse 15 to quote a whole bunch of verses from the Old Testament, which are about God's people bringing praise to praise and glory to God in the eyes of all nations. He says, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles or the nations and sing your name. Again, it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with this people, etc., etc. Paul's tying together the life of the local church and how we relate to one another with the purpose and mission of the church of God in the world. So the purpose of every church is to glorify God, righteousness and grace in our life together, but to do that in being glorified among the nations. See, that's why Paul commands us to accept one another then, just as Christ has accepted you, in order to bring praise to God from every people everywhere. But have you sometimes found it's hard to get along with people at church? Or is that just me? That's just me. Okay, thanks. Oh, well, I can go home now. So what does it mean to accept one another, and how does this actually result in people outside the church praising God? Well, the second thing I want us to see from Romans is that in order to understand what Paul does mean and what he doesn't mean when he tells us to accept one another, and how this is related to glorifying God before all nations, we just need to understand that as the church, we glorify God's holiness and character by embodying and living out the words of Christ in our life together. Okay? We don't just do what we want and be nice. We actually seek to be conformed to Christ's words together. So in order to understand what Paul says when we just stop judging each other and to accept one another, we just need to see that what Paul's doing in this section of Romans is he's actually doing what the Lord Jesus commands the church to do in the Great Commission. What's the Great Commission at the end of Matthew 28? You know, all authority in heaven and on earth and given to me, therefore go and make disciples, baptizing and just leaving it there. No, baptizing them and teaching them to obey all that I have taught you, and behold, I'm with you to the end of the age. See, actually, throughout here, actually, all Paul's doing is taking, he's fulfilling the Great Commission by taking Christ's teaching in the Sermon on the Mount and taking Christ's teaching from the warning at the Mount of Olives in Matthew 25 and just applying it to the life of the church in Rome so that they can take part in the Great Commission before all nations. So have you ever noticed reading through Romans 13 to 15 that pretty much everywhere we look, we see references back to the Sermon on the Mount? Well, we can't look at all the ways, but a couple of examples should make it clear. Romans 13:8, Paul says, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has done what? Has fulfilled the law." Matthew 5:17, "Don't think that I've come to abolish the law, I've come to fulfill them." Verse 10, Paul in 13, Paul then says, you know, love your neighbor as yourself because love is the fulfillment of the law, which is actually just a direct quote from the start and the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Now, the connections to the Sermon on the Mount are everywhere in this section of Paul, but I think one of the most important and the most obvious ones is there in chapter 4, verse 17. Chapter 4:14, verse 17, Paul states, "The kingdom of God is not a matter of what? Not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Where have you seen the connections of the kingdom of God, righteousness, eating and drinking tied together in the Sermon on the Mount? Well, in our reading today from Matthew 6, Jesus says, don't worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear, literally, what shall we put on? For the nations run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But first, what? His kingdom and his righteousness and everything else will be given to you. Now, in 14:17, you don't see the reference to what we put on, do we? That's actually because Paul spent a fair bit of chapter 13 saying that God has given us what we're to put on. We're to put on the armor of light. We're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, all these references to the Sermon on the Mount are just being, he's just taking Christ's teaching and applying it to the life of the church in Rome so that they can live out the Great Commission where they've been placed. See, Paul's just doing what we're called to do, whether we're in Africa or Australia. Okay, so when we see that actually what Paul's doing is just taking Christ's words, it helps us to understand what Paul means when he tells us to accept one another as Christ has accepted us. See, God makes himself known through the church because Christ is actually present within the church. Okay, God hasn't outsourced mission. He hasn't kind of said, well, I've done my bit, now it's your turn. See, to make sense of why accepting one another is such a big deal for the global and local mission of the church, we need to realize that by accepting one another, we are literally accepting and welcoming Christ and Christ's presence among us as his people. See, the reason why we need to embody Christ's words together in order to fulfill the Great Commission is because as the church, we are empowered by the indwelling presence of Jesus Christ himself. You and me and us. So no, God hasn't outsourced his mission. Jesus didn't say, well, I've done the hard work, now it's over to you. What does he say? No, he says he draws his people into his mission. And he says, I will be with you. Now, the fact that actually in this passage, the logic is all based around the fact that Christ is among us is clear from places like verses 19 to 20 of chapter 14. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. You know, don't destroy the work of God for the sake of food. 15 verse 1, each of us should please our neighbours for their good to build them up. 7, accept one another then just as Christ has accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Who are the people that you're sitting with here today? Just think about them. If they are someone who Christ has welcomed, that should shape how you treat them. Yes? Yeah. Now, Christ hasn't welcomed them because everyone's so amazing. That's by grace, through faith, but for his glory. In chapter 14, there's a lot of talk about what you can eat and what you can't eat. And I think we tend to focus on that because it's at the front. But actually, all the talk about eating or not eating isn't the real issue. The real issue in chapter 14 is about the presence of Christ amongst his people. Now in 2021, as the lockdown restrictions ended 6 months ago, when we're finally allowed to have students in our house after almost 18 months of being able to see them from our window in their dining hall, but we couldn't have them over for a meal, when we could finally have them for a meal in 2021, we decided that we would invite a bunch of the South Sudanese students because I don't have family or friends, and they're a long way from us, so we thought we'd invite them into our house and we'll do something special for them. Now, I like cooking, and so I thought, I'm gonna get a 4-kilogram piece of pork, and I seasoned it the night before. I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I put it in the Weber to slow smoke it over 12 hours so that we could have delicious pulled pork rolls. Oh, it smelt so good. I just love being by the barbecue all day. And a fellow Australian lecturer, Steve, he rang me up, said, oh, what are you doing tonight? I said, oh, I've got the South Sudanese coming, and I've made pulled pork for them. It's slow smoke, 12 hours, so good. He goes, pork? Yeah, do the South Sudanese eat pork? And I said, why would they not eat pork? They're Christians. He goes, yeah, they know that too, but they really don't eat pork, Mike. So I got on the phone and I rang up Brother Semé. I said, Semé, looking forward to having you over in about an hour. Semé, hypothetically, if you came to one of your lecture houses and they served you pork, what would happen? He goes, we would be very happy to be at our lecturer's house having fellowship. And I said, that make you happy? Yes, that we love fellowship. I said, would the pork make you happy? And he said, we would be very happy having fellowship with our elder brother. So Karen got in the car, went to the supermarket, we put the pork in the fridge, ate pork for a long time, and we had a lovely time of fellowship with hamburgers. See, the food doesn't matter. The food didn't matter. I'm not going to insist on, I spent 12 hours cooking this thing and you're a Christian so you can eat it. No, because that doesn't love and respect and build up. It doesn't recognize that just as Christ has accepted them, as I accept them, I'm accepting Christ who dwells with them. We had an amazing time. So the issue is not food. It's about recognizing that our brothers and sisters in Christ, as the body of Christ, Christ is present as we love and build up one another, and in grace, as the life together reveals the truth of the gospel before a lost world. So the key thing to get our heads around when Paul says accept one another then just as Christ has accepted you is that we're literally welcoming Christ in our fellowship. So when Paul says don't judge your brother or sister, he's really meaning don't divide the church. Don't cause divisions. Recognize who you are so that you can know what you're called to do. So when Christ says accept one another, and in particular to accept the weak person who doesn't think they can eat pork, he's actually just picking up what Jesus says with the sheep and the goats. He's picking up Jesus' teaching again in Matthew 25. So what does it say in Matthew 25? You know, you've got the sheep and the goats, and it's all about how have we treated Christ? And no one was aware that they were actually treating Christ at all. And so Jesus, they say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, Lord? When did we see you sick, Lord, and visit you? Jesus says, truly I say to you, what you've done to the least one of these, my brothers, you did it for me. You see how Paul's just applying this teaching about eating and drinking and welcoming to the body of Christ as we're on Christ's mission? Now, I think the real kicker here is that in the Greek, the word for sick is the same word for weak. So when we accept the weak brother, we have to see that maybe that's when we're caring for Christ in the sick one, okay? When did we see you sick, Lord? Well, what you've done for the least of these, my brothers, who don't like eating this or don't like doing that, you've done it for me. See, how we treat one another and live out as a community is at the heart of the gospel, both here in Australia and overseas. Because Christ has welcomed you, you're called to welcome one another as Christ's presence on earth. See, why did Christ accept you? Because you're so amazing? You might be amazing, but that's not why. Because he died for you to gather you in his grace, so that he can reveal his grace and glory before all nations through his people. So as we love and accept and forgive one another, as Christ has loved and accepted and forgiven us, okay, what we are doing for each other, we are glorifying Christ together. And last night, as I was checking times for today's service, thank you, good having a website, I was here on time. I noticed on the website, I was just, what your mission statement is. Now, I asked Mike earlier if you've all memorized the mission statement. Apparently, it's not compulsory. But I was so encouraged to read that it says that St. George's is committed to being a prayerful family that brings glory to Christ by applying God's word to your lives and using your gifts and resources to proclaim the gospel at every opportunity in McGill and beyond. It's a great mission statement, because that's actually just what the mission statement of the church is. It's exactly what God is calling you to be. But don't overlook the fact that how you live together is at the heart of God's mission. So will you pray with me that the church in Africa, the church in Australia, will indeed bring glory to God in Christ before a lost world, not just by what we preach. We must preach, but also our lives must make sense of what it is that we're preaching. We pray. Loving God, thank you that you don't just save us for us to be saved, but you save us to bring us into your great mission as your people. Thank you, Lord, that you're doing that here in Adelaide. You're doing that across Australia, and you're doing it around the world, and you draw us into that. Thank you that you do give us different gifts and skills and abilities, but you make us one people so that we can actually live for your praise through Christ as we live out his word and with his empowering presence. So, Lord, help us to welcome and accept each other just as Christ has welcomed and accepted us, in order that you might be glorified through us before all nations. Amen.